Well, good morning, church. It's great that we can be together. You're in very good voice this morning. Wonderful singing. Praise the Lord for that. It's wonderful, isn't it, when a people can come together and we can praise the Lord in such a way. Thanks, Dave, for leading us thus far this morning. Knowing that I like football and knowing that I attend church, my colleagues at work yesterday said, will you be watching the World Cup final? And they were saying, probably, if you give a presentation, maybe on one side of the screen you'll have your PowerPoint, on the other side will be the football. No, we're not having a split screen this morning. Will the Lionesses be victorious? It probably just kicked off. Spiritually, this morning, this victory can be ours if we want it. The victory in Jesus. And in our reading, and I appreciate there are different pronunciations of the place AI or I, other pronunciations as well. I've been used to pronouncing it I, but I might slip to AI. Please bear with me in that. But from all indications, this little city should have been a pushover for the people of Israel as they marched through Canaan. However, in the previous chapter, in chapter 7, Israel experienced a defeat. And 36 of their soldiers died as they were trying to flee from this place. I is a picture of our enemies this morning. It's a picture of the flesh. The word I actually means heap of ruin. And that's a very good way to describe our flesh. Our human flesh, or our fallen or human nature. And Paul reminds us in Romans 7 and 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. I is first mentioned in the book of Genesis in connection with the life of Abraham. And the Bible tells us that Abraham pitched his tent somewhere between Bethel and Ai. The name Bethel means house of God. And like Abraham, many of God's people have pitched their tents somewhere between the house of God and somewhere between that heap of ruins. And there is a connection. We can either live in a place of victory and blessing, or we can live in a place of defeat and misery. We can either have a Bethel experience or an I experience. And the kind of life that we possess and experience will be determined where we pitch our tent. Years ago, when I was doing my Duke of Edinburgh Award, one of the camping locations was in West Cornwall, fairly near Land's End, a place called St. Berrian. And on one occasion, we pitched our tent so inappropriately. It was windy, it was raining, it was gale force. And in the middle of the night, maybe 3-4 o'clock in the morning, we had to discard our tent and find refuge in the public conveniences. We pitched our tent inappropriately in the wrong place. And the question for us this morning, where have we pitched our tent? Now, just like Israel, we often lose battles to the flesh. But by God's help and God's grace and God's enabling, we can have defeat over our own I and walk away in victory in our lives. Now, I don't know how many battles you are facing in your individual lives this morning. I'm not going to ask, but if I ask for a show of hands, most hands would be raised. We're continually facing battles individually. There are three things for us this morning. The first one is this, that victory is promised. When the Lord speaks to Joshua in chapter 1, he tells him to go to this place, and God promises Joshua that things will be different this time. And he assures Joshua he will be victorious with his people. It's interesting that the Lord called them to return to the very place of their greatest defeat. God knew that they had to overcome I before they could move on in conquest into Canaan. And the same is so true for us. How many times have we fallen and wondered if we would ever get back to where we were? And Joshua, it says of the Lord there in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people.'" He says, "I have given them into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." And to those who have fallen and have lost a battle or two, God says this morning, "Do not be afraid. I am able to give you the victory." If you take nothing else away from this meeting this morning, please take that sentiment that God can give us the victory. And God has given us so many promises in his word that we should not have to live in defeat. He says in Romans 6 and in 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." So we're no longer slaves to sin or the flesh or the enemy. And also, we've been made new creatures. We are new creations in Christ this morning. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And God has also continued to promise victory to his children. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord did not save us to leave us defeated or beaten or enslaved to the flesh. He saved us to set us free and to enable us to walk in victory, and that he gives to all those who walk according to his word and to his will. Notice in verse 2 of this story that the Lord tells them that he will do to Ai what he did to Jericho, except this time the people are allowed to take all the spoils for themselves. Now, if Achan, in the previous chapter, he was so disobedient, if he had waited just a few more days, he could have had all the riches and all the things he could have imagined. Instead, he ran ahead of God and he grabbed for himself those things that God had forbidden. And as a result, Achan paid a very high price. And what a lesson, friends, for us today. If we should just learn to wait on God and let him lead us and bring into our lives the things that are of need of in our individual circumstances, we would be so far better off. But often the flesh is impatient. Often our flesh wants, and our flesh wants it now, immediately. We are far better off waiting on the Lord to bring those things into our lives, because he knows what is best for us. In Psalm 24 and 27 and 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So victory was promised. Then secondly, victory was to be pursued. And from verse 3 to 17, the people there engaged and embraced God's plan. God told them in exact detail what they should do, where they should go on the mountain, and what they should be doing. And they were to lay an ambush, and they would take the city and all of the inhabitants. And we need to learn a lesson today, friends. When we fight the battle God's way, we will not fail. When we fight the battle our way, often we will fail. And often we head for trouble. If we want victory over our flesh, then we need to be receptive and engaging in spiritual principles. God's spiritual support system for us on this day is so important. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word." We need to engage in prayer. What a wonderful weapon for us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." We need to be regularly in church attendance and faithful to that attendance. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some." And we need constant fellowship with one another. What a privilege to be part of a body of Christ. I love it when we can engage and encourage one another in the things of God. We need that fellowship and support. In Acts 2:42 it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And none of these things will give the victory in themselves, but we need them to strengthen our position as we face opposition in the days in which we live. When we begin to neglect just one of these things, then we are on a slippery slope. We need to be strong in these areas. And I know the leadership here were blessed to have godly leaders who preach and teach and encourage such things. And they experienced God's power in a remarkable way. And God gave them the victory. We see that in verses 18 to 23. The first time that the people went to Ai, they went in their own power and they suffered that terrible defeat. This time they went into battle walking in the power of God, and they were victorious. And friends, there is just one way that we can win in our lives, and that is to learn to appropriate the power of God in our lives. We are, in our own strength, unable to fight the flesh, the sin, and the world in our own power. It doesn't work. We need to realize that we need God's power in our lives, day in and day out. It says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In Philippians 4 and 13, it says this, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Friends, what a promise. Let me read it again. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That is powerful. Allow God's Spirit to just for that to rest into your beings this morning. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In verses 24 and 26, we are told that Israel trusted in the Lord and they prevailed over the enemy. God did what God said he was going to do. And friends, we are serving the same God this morning that gave Israel victory. God hasn't changed. The same God today as he was back in those days. And the same God tomorrow. What does it say in Romans 4 and verse 21? It says, "And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." What a promise that is. So we've seen victory is promised, victory is pursued. Our third point this morning, that victory had to be preserved. At this point in the story, from verses 27 to 35, Israel had followed God's plan and achieved the victory. Now they've got to maintain that victory. And that's the important thing. In football terms, last year, Manchester City won three trophies. They won the treble. Great for Manchester City. It's going to be much harder for them to maintain that position in this season. They've started well. They've started well, but it's going to be much harder for them this year to win the treble again. Maintaining spiritual victory is so vital and so important. And we can achieve victory over the flesh. If we are going to maintain that victory, we must follow Israel's example of what happened at Ai. They said these verses are quite hard, and they are quite hard. They're strong verses. But victory was persevered by death. Note that they did not leave one single person alive in that place. Not one person survived. God knew that that enemy had to be totally eradicated, or there would be problems down the road. And the lesson for us today is that our flesh is still alive well, but it must be put to death. A few truths from Scripture will back this up. The first one is that our flesh is at constant war with the Spirit of God who is in us. Last Sunday evening, Luke was sharing about this. And if you weren't here on Sunday morning, please listen to it on the website. It was a brilliant, concise, practical explanation of the battle that we have with the flesh. And the struggle that the Apostle Paul dealt with in great detail, we see in many of his writings. It was a continual battle, but it had to be put to death. Our flesh was crucified with Christ. In Romans 6 and verse 7, it said, says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." And this is our positional standing. In the eyes of God, our flesh and all its works and everything it stands for was crucified with Jesus at Calvary. But we are to reckon the flesh dead daily. The secret to victory over the flesh lies in seeing the flesh as God sees it. And when we come to that place and we look at our flesh and the lusts that we live and all of those things, they must be reckoned as dead. It says in Colossians 3 and verse 2, says this: "Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth." Set your minds on things above. How often do we get weighed down with the things that we are experiencing? But friends, there will be coming a day when the battle with the flesh will end, and I am looking so forward to it. When I get to heaven, when I get to glory, one day the Lord will deliver all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, that one day the Lord will free us, deliver us from this ugly flesh, and we will be changed to be like him. In our story, after the enemy had been eradicated and victory had been preserved, Israel finished by doing what the Lord had told them. And this afternoon, we haven't got time to read it now, but this afternoon, if you want to be blessed, read Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. And it's a marvelous reading how the Lord presented his word of truth. Half the nation were to stand on the Mount Ebal and the other half on Mount Gerizim. And the Levites were to stand in the valley between these two mountains, and they were to read the cursings and the blessings. And as they read the cursings, the crowd on Mount Ebal were to shout amen. And when they read the blessings, the crowd on Mount Gerizim shouted amen. And this exercise was to remind the people of God of what God had recorded in his statutes, that he would bless and what he would not bless. And they were reaffirming their commitment to live by the word of God. And so in obedience to the command of the Lord, Israel made this 30-mile trip to those mountains, and they stood there facing each other. I think the valley is about two miles, and the commandments were read out, and they shouted amen. The name Ebal means heap of barrenness. Ebal was a barren, deserted rock. It was the mounting of cursing. On the other hand, Gerizim was a beautiful, wooded mountain surrounded by a fertile valley. Gerizim was the mounting of blessing. Ebal reminded Israel that disobedience to the Lord would result in barrenness. Gerizim reminded Israel that they were to be a separate people. Gerizim actually means cutting off. That if they walked in the ways of the Lord, that they would receive wonderful blessings in the promised land. And so in conclusion, as our musicians and singers come back, before Israel worshipped on the mountain, Joshua built an altar, and he wrote the words of the law of Moses in the presence of all the people, verses 30 and 31. The altar was the place of sacrifice, and it served to remind the people that they could not achieve anything in their own strength. Victory was only secured when they gave it to the Lord. And if we intend to to enjoy God's blessings in our lives, we must regularly be reminded and adhere to walk in God's ways. Before we can shout on the mountain, we must kneel at the altar. And we must acknowledge that we are not capable of fighting battles in our own strength. If we are to succeed, we must depend upon the power of God. The path of lasting victory begins at the altar, the place of sacrifice, on our knees. And maybe, friends, this morning we need to make it to the altar again. In our individual lives, we know there has been spiritual slippage. If God has spoken into your own heart and life this morning, maybe you need to come and recommit your life in service unto Him. And maybe you need to come, and the altar is at the front of the church. You might need to come before God and before witnesses this morning to show that you mean business with God. If the Holy Spirit is prompting, don't resist the move of the Spirit this morning. There was a void between Ebal and Gerizim. Sometimes we are on the mountain, and sometimes we are in the valley. Sometimes there is darkness, and the night is long. But as we sing in our final song, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but Christ in me. We have victory in Jesus this morning. And friends, if you want prayer this morning, after the meeting, or even through the singing of this song, just make yourself known to the leaders, myself, and we'll be pleased and delighted to pray with you. If there is anyone here this morning who has not yet made his or her peace with God, maybe this morning is the time in your life. If the Spirit of God has been gently speaking this morning, don't fight it, but respond accordingly. God loves us all, and He wants each one of us to have a wonderful relationship of blessing with Him. Before we sing, I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand and sing. Father, just as the victory for the Israelites was pursued by them keeping to your ways, we too can pursue victories in our own lives by keeping close to you. And so we pray, Father, as we sing our closing song now, that we would be so dependent upon you. We worship you for who you are. And may your Holy Spirit continue to brood over us as we sing this song. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to sing, please.